Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
We are continuing our series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer as it is explained to us in the Heidelberg Catechism. And to that end, I invite you to turn with me to the Book of Psalms, Psalm 145. Let us hear the Word of God. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. This ends the reading of the holy word of God. May the Lord bless and apply his word to our hearts today. Dear friends, we come in our study of the Lord's Prayer to the fourth petition. The fourth petition is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, as you may know, the fourth petition marks the beginning of the second part of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer can be divided into two parts. In the first part, petitions 1 to 3, the focus is on God. In this part, we pray that God's name may be hallowed, his kingdom may come, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, now in the second part, petitions 4 through 6, the focus shifts from God to man. Now, there's something significant about this. It teaches us that the Lord cares not only about himself. He cares not only about his name, his kingdom, and his will, but he also cares about us, whom he has created in his image and for his own glory. At the same time, it teaches us that God's name, God's will, God's kingdom must come first. It's only after we have prayed for those things pertaining to God that we can pray for those things pertaining to ourselves. And so what are these things? Well, there are three of them: our daily bread, forgiveness of sins, and grace to resist temptation. And of these three, the first has to do with our material needs. The other two have to do with our spiritual needs. Now that in turn may surprise us. We might have expected our Lord to have taught us to place our spiritual needs first. In other words, first the petition for the forgiveness of sins, and then the petition for grace to resist temptation, and then the prayer for our daily bread. After all, we think, is the spiritual not more important than the material? Well, the truth is, it isn't. Although the soul lives forever, that does not mean the soul is more important or more valuable than the body. That is a Greek way of thinking. But the biblical way of thinking is that both body and soul are important. God made both. Christ also redeemed both. And therefore, they are both equally important and precious to God. Besides that, placing our material needs first makes sense. The truth is, we can hardly ask for the forgiveness of sins and grace to resist temptation if the Lord does not first give us our daily bread. Or as one writer put it, it's hard to pray even for spiritual things on an empty stomach. And our Lord knows this, and so that's why he placed this petition first. Now, with this in mind and God's help, let's consider this petition under the theme, the petition regarding our daily bread. And we'll consider, first of all, the request it contains, secondly, the perspective it provides, and thirdly, the confidence it instills. Like all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition is simple and clear. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we pray those words many times, or we hear them being prayed, but what do they really mean, actually? What are we requesting in this petition? Well, the key word here is the word bread. The word bread is a figure of speech. By bread, our Lord means not just physical bread, but all that we need for our physical lives. That includes food and drink and shelter, clothing, health, employment, and income, and all the rest. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism brings that very point out in question and answer 125. The question is asked, which is the fourth petition? And the answer is, give us this day our daily bread. That is, and here comes the explanation, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. And so when we pray this petition, we're asking God to supply all of our material needs. Now, to be sure, as we've already mentioned, we may also bring our spiritual needs before the Lord. In fact, we must do so. This is what our Lord teaches in the petitions that follow this petition. Forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation. These things have to do with our spiritual needs, the needs of our soul. But before we do that, we must first bring to God our material needs. We must ask him to supply us with our daily bread. Now, why does our Lord convey this with the word bread? Why doesn't he not simply teach us to pray something like, give us whatever we need for this life? Why does he use the metaphor of bread? Well, he does so because in ancient times, as today, bread was a basic necessity of life. People could not survive without bread. And so by using the word bread, our Lord is teaching us to ask only for things that are necessary. And that means we may not pray to God to give us a nice shiny sports car or a brand new motorhome. Those things are certainly nice, but they're not necessary. We must pray only for what we need. And this is why Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. What is more, bread is a very simple food. Our Lord doesn't teach us to pray for caviar or filet mignon. He teaches us to pray for plain, ordinary bread. Now, if the Lord gives us caviar, and if he gives us filet mignon, well, that's a great blessing. But all we should ask for, and all we should reasonably expect, is bread. But notice, we are not only to pray for bread in general, but we are to pray for our daily bread. And by adding that word daily, our Lord is teaching us that we should not ask for more than we absolutely need. We should pray only for what we need for the day, no more and no less. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we should not plan for the future, or that we should not put away money for a rainy day. We're called to be responsible stewards of the gifts that the Lord has given to us, and that includes our material gifts. And therefore, we should be saving for our retirement, and we should be saving for a rainy day, and so on. But we should not be overly concerned about the future. That's the point. We should ask only for what we need for today. Now, this is why the Lord gave his people manna every day, and why it spoiled if it was stored overnight. This is why the Lord caused a raven to bring his servant Elijah food every day, because he wants his people to trust in him to supply all their needs for each and every day. Now, admittedly, this was easier to do in Bible times than it is today. In Bible times, people did not have large pantries and freezers like we do today. They literally ate from hand to mouth. Whatever they needed for the day, they had to make themselves or buy at the marketplace. But that does not mean we do not have to pray these words. Even in our land of plenty, where if we run out of something, all we have to do is go to the grocery store and buy it, God still wants us to rely on him for what we need for each and every day. Now, Agur understood this. In Proverbs 30, verse 8, Agur writes, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me." You see what Agur is praying here? He's praying for just enough bread to live on. Why? And he tells us, "Lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." You see, Agur knew that having too much would lead to pride and self-reliance. And that was precisely the problem with the rich fool, wasn't it? This man had such a bountiful harvest that he decided to pull down his existing barns and build bigger barns. And he said, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be that you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The point of this parable is clear. While we may indeed and even must save up for the future, we must not trust in our investments. We must continue to trust in the Lord. We must live out of his hand day by day. But Agur also knew that having too little would lead to discontentment and even desperation. Think, for example, of King Saul's irrational decision to forbid his army from eating, making it impossible for them to pursue after their enemies. Therefore, Agur prayed for neither too much nor too little, but just enough. Well, this then is what our Lord means when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We pray that the Lord would give us what we need for each and every passing day. And in so doing, he provides us with a valuable perspective, especially on material things. And that brings us to our second point. By praying this petition, our Lord provides us with a valuable perspective on material things. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism expresses that in Lord's Day 50. After teaching that it is in this petition that we are to ask God to provide us with all things necessary for the body, the Catechism goes on to say this, and I quote, "So that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the fountain of all good." Now, this is implied by the first word of this petition, the word "give." By means of that one word, we acknowledge that everything that we have and everything that we need ultimately comes from God, including our daily bread. And that's why we ask him to give it to us. Now, this teaching is clearly scriptural. Earlier, we read together from Psalm 145. And in verses 15 and 16 of that psalm, the psalmist writes, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." And this is echoed by other passages in the Bible. I think, for example, of Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. When Moses warns the people not to forget the Lord when they enter into the land of Canaan, for he is the one who gives power to get wealth. Or I think of Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. The psalmist acknowledges there that God causes the grass to grow for the cattle and an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man and oil to make his face to shine and bread which strengthens man's heart. All of these things come from the hand of God. Paul says the same in Acts 14, verse 17, when he says to the men of Lystra that God gave them rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And similarly, in Acts 17, verse 25, the same apostle informs the men of Athens that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. So the point is, God is the giver of everything. Whatever we need for this life and for the life to come comes from God. And that includes our daily bread. Now think of that. Consider a loaf of bread for a moment. Bread is made of wheat, isn't it? But ask yourself, where does that wheat come from? You say, well, it comes from a wheat plant, which starts out as a seed, and that's fine. But who made the seed? Well, God did. Well, who made the seed grow and become a plant? Well, God did. And the same is true for all of the other ingredients that go into making a simple loaf of bread. They all come from God. And how we need to be reminded of this very simple, basic fact. How often do we not think that the things we have come from ourselves? That they're the result of our hard work, our sound investments, our wise planning, our business sense. But the fourth petition reminds us that that is not true. Whatever we have and whatever we need comes from God. Now, the second reason why we should pray this fourth petition is to remind us, and I quote again from the Catechism, neither our care nor industry, nor even God's gifts can profit us without his blessing. Now, the words care and industry refer, of course, to our daily work. We learn here that even though our daily bread comes from God, he expects us to work for it. He's not going to just drop it out of the sky and put it on our table. Now, this too is scriptural. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 and 12. Paul exhorts the Thessalonians to work with their own hands that they might walk properly toward those who are outside and that they might lack nothing. And similarly, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, the same apostle writes, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. The point is, God expects us to work, and it's by working that we earn our daily bread. Now, to be sure, work is not always easy. As a result of the fall into sin, work became cursed. Now it is by the sweat of our brow that we must eat bread, but we must still work. If we don't work, as Paul says, we will also not eat. But the point that the Catechism is making here is that we should never think that our work alone, or even God's gifts, can profit us in and of themselves. In order for our work and God's gifts to profit us, they must be accompanied by God's blessing. Isn't this exactly what the psalmist says in Psalm 127? When he acknowledges, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. In other words, you can get up as early as you like, and you can work as hard as you want, and for as long as you want, but unless God blesses it, it will all be in vain. It will profit you nothing. And this is what we confess when we pray the fourth petition. We're saying, Lord, all that we do, all of our hard work will profit us nothing unless you bless it. But that's not all. Not only does this petition provide us with an important perspective, especially on material things, it also instills within us great confidence. And that brings us to our third and final point. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that in this petition, Christ teaches us to, and I quote, withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in God. Now, we need to be reminded of that very truth. We are so prone, are we not, to look to ourselves and to others to supply our daily needs. We look to the government to assist us when times are tough. We look to various social agencies to provide us with food and shelter. We look to doctors and scientists to find cures for various sicknesses and diseases and the problems facing us, society as a planet. We look to unions to protect our wages and our rights as workers. And while all these things have their place, we ought not to place our trust in these things. We must learn to trust in God. And this is exactly what the fourth petition encourages us to do. Every time we pray this petition, we're reminded to look to God and God alone for all that we need. Now, this too is scriptural, isn't it? Psalm 146, verse 3. The psalmist writes, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help." Well, in whom then should we trust? The answer comes in verse 5. "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." So rather than put our trust in men, rather than put our trust in institutions and organizations, we need to learn to put our trust in the Lord. He and he alone is our help in time of need. Well, let me ask you, is he also your help today? What or whom do you trust in this life? Is it other people? Is it organizations? Is it government? Is it institutions? Or is it God? Well, let me ask you, why not God? Is he not good? Is he not the overflowing fountain of all good? Has he not proven time and time again that he is not only able, but also willing to provide for us? Remember the words of our Savior in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 33. Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Oh, do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, don't worry about material things. Because your Father in heaven knows what you need, even better than you know what you need. So trust in him. He will supply it. If he feeds the birds of the air and clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more feed and clothe you who are created in his image and redeemed by his power? Of course he will. And so don't worry. God will provide. On what basis, you say? Well, not on the basis of anything in us, because there is nothing. We don't deserve anything from the hand of God because of our sin. But it's only on the basis of the finished work of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ purchased all of God's blessings for us. He did this by taking upon himself human flesh and suffering his whole life long. He deprived himself of every material blessing. He went without food when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He went without shelter. He said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Even went without clothing. When the soldiers crucified him, they cast lots for his garment. Jesus deprived himself of every material blessing. As the Apostle Paul said, "Although he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich." And as a result, we may pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." And we may pray this with full assurance that he will hear us and answer us on the basis of the atoning work of his Son. And so how thankful we should be then for the gift of Jesus Christ. Because of him, we have the assurance that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because of him, we can rest assured that all of our material needs will be looked after. Because of him, we can pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and believe with absolute certainty that he will hear and answer that prayer in his own time and in his own way. But that's not all. Not only will he provide us with material bread, he will also provide us with spiritual bread. He will provide us with himself and all of his benefits. You see, he is the fulfillment of the manna in the wilderness, the bread of life without which we cannot live. And just as we cannot live without material bread, so we cannot live without spiritual bread that can only be found in him. And our Lord knows this, and this is why he so freely offers himself and all of his benefits to sinners everywhere. In John 6, when the Jews asked Jesus to give them a sign from heaven, just as Moses gave them the manna in the wilderness, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And when the Jews asked Jesus to give them this bread, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus here was inviting these doubting, questioning, unbelieving Jews to come to him and to be saved, and he still invites sinners today. My friend, do you hunger and thirst for this bread of life? The Lord invites you to partake of it by faith. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he invites you to come to him and eat until you are fully satisfied, and to do so again and again and again until he comes for the second time. And then we shall no longer pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," for we will have him and we will feed on him to all eternity. Amen. Dear friends, it's our great joy and privilege to be able to preach to you the Word of God every Sunday on this station. If you were blessed by, or if you have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. Would you please take the time to write us a short note to let us know that you are listening to this broadcast? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. And when you write, please indicate the call letters of this station. If you take the time to write to us, we'll gladly send you free of charge a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism on which this series of sermons is based. Now, please note that we do not send out CDs of our radio messages. However, you can access and download all of our messages at any time from our website at www.banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is always welcome and deeply appreciated. You can make a donation at any time on our webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.